This is 89.9 WWNO. Yes, we're headed for another art-filled week. Are you making plans? Or do you need some ideas? Well, you've come to the right place. Whether you're in the mood for compelling stage dramas or a festival celebrating the piano, it's all in the mixed media. Come along as we go inside the arts. Hi, I'm your host, Diane Mack. Two captivating productions celebrate the return of Southern Rep Theater's City Series of plays. The limited engagement summer offerings feature Nairobi Otero's one-woman play, Till Sunday, and a conjuring and telling of Black Girl Magic, curated and directed by Constance Thompson. One tackles immigration, the other celebrates the bonds of sisterhood. Nairobi and Constance, welcome to Inside the Arts.
Thank you.
Happy
to be here.
What excites you about the return of City Series?
This is Constance. It's putting on and presenting new works. After 6 years of taking a hiatus at Southern Rep, now it's located on Bayou Road in a new building, and director Aimee Hayes is really excited to share these new works with everyone.
Why was it on hiatus?
This is Nairobi. My understanding is once they left Canal Place, which was their home for a long time, it was hard to put up the series while they were finding homes to put main stage productions. And now that they're in their permanent home, they get to control their narrative again. And now we're back at putting new pieces and new voices that need to be heard here in the city.
What does the series explore?
It's the stories that represent the city and the local artist and a reflection of the culture of the city.
Yeah.
It's like holding the mirror of the community to the community through the arts.
Now, Nairobi, the regional premiere of your one-woman play, Till Sunday, opens this week. How are you exploring the issue of immigration?
It could not have been more timely, because the topic of immigration is always on the news. But with this particular administration and New Orleans not being a sanctuary city, it is a heightened topic for us. My play is set here in New Orleans. I'm a first-generation American. My family immigrated here from Cuba. So our show, Till Sunday, we tackle it by really telling the truth of the Cuban experience in the early 70s through the early 80s here in New Orleans. And what I think is fantastic, because of the timeliness of where we're living, is that you don't have to be Cuban to understand the story. You can substitute Cuba with Venezuela. You can substitute Castro with Maduro. And it's the same story.
What does the title refer to?
Till Sunday. There's a series of phone calls in the show that take place on Sundays. And when the mother hangs up the phone in her light Cuban accent, she says, Till Sunday.
So this is somewhat autobiographical?
It is. This is 100% my family story. I would say that for my personal, I would say about 20% is what happened to me. But that's something very personal and very private that I keep between the director and I, because there's certain things that are still bring me great sadness. So I keep that. But 100%. Like, for example, the mom in the play is a dishwasher at Court of Two Sisters. When my grandmother came in 1971, she was a dishwasher at Court of Two Sisters. So it's really a love letter to my family. It's a love letter to the city that opened its arms during their need for political asylum. And I'm just really proud and honored to be able to tell the story.
How does that story unfold? What will we experience?
If we do our job correctly, I think you will laugh. I think you will also have some sadness. We don't candy coat the play. We tell it like it is. It's full of hope, but we're not going to shy away from the reality. Ultimately, the essence of the play is a mom who comes from Cuba for a better life with her young daughter, having to make sacrifices. The biggest one is leaving her husband behind. So you see her through the course of the play trying to get her husband safe and legally. At the same time, you're seeing the daughter grow up from the age of 2 to 15. So she's on the eve of her quinceañeras, which is the rite of passage. For those who are listening who don't know quinceañeras, it's our version of a debutante ball. And then you have the final character, Pepe, who I don't think you have to be Spanish to have this type of character in your family. It's the gregarious man who has all the solutions, who saves Cuba from Castro, but from the comfort of the United States. So you'll see, I think, a nice balance of what it is to be an immigrant and ultimately what it is to be an American.
Can you share something from the production that will connect us to the plight of those seeking political asylum in this country?
Sure. I'm going to share a short little excerpt. It's the very first phone call that the mom makes to the husband in Cuba and in the place she's already been here a month. But because of the connections, you couldn't get through. So I'm going to do the very end of that so I don't reveal too much at the beginning. And I will be playing the mom with a very light Cuban accent. Ay, Jesús, mira, we have a neighbor, Pepe. He watches La Niña while I'm at work. He's helping us understand the people here. They eat very different food here, listen to very different music. Jesús, they eat this thing here called La Cucaracha of the Swamp. Crawfish. Ay, Jesus. I started working as a dishwasher at Court of Two Sisters. Listen, I'm going to start working an extra few hours a week and send you and La Familia paqueticos every month. And whenever I have a little extra, I will put it away for La Niña's quinces. No, Jesus, you're staying in Cuba until we send for you. No, I don't want you to go into the ocean. Jesus, did you forget what happened to Nesto in Bay of Pigs? Listen to yourself. Listen to me. We are safe and are getting situated. Jesus, please think of us. Give us time. Within a year, you'll be with your safe and legally.
This is a very heartwarming story about family ties.
It really is. It's the ties that bond us. It's the ties that, even through separation, my mom has this expression, which I have to give her credit for, which is, it doesn't matter where you live, where you come from. You never forget where your belly button comes from. I think that's ultimately, like, I may live in New York, but I know I'm a New Orleanian.
Yeah.
You know.
Your play goes back in time to the 1970s and 80s, but immigration struggles continue to be a hot button issue in 21st century America. What is your hope moving forward on the subject?
Because I'm a child of immigrants, I'm pro-immigration. I think there has to be a pathway to citizenship. I think people need to understand also it's not illegal to seek asylum in another country. And I think people need to start understanding that. One of the things that I always say is you don't leave your country because you want to. You leave it because you have left with no other option. And a lot of these times there's children involved. And these are parents who cannot give themselves their dreams, but they will do everything in their power to give it to their kids. I think we have to put a humanitarian face to it. We have to see these young men and women and children coming as human beings. And then I think we can start a conversation just from that.
The power of art.
Power of art. It's my responsibility and I take it very seriously.
Nunca podré morir. Si mi corazón no lo tengo aquí, alguien me está llamando, está guardando que vuelva allí. Cuando salí de Cuba, dejé mi vida, dejé mi amor. Cuando salí de Cuba, dejé enterrado mi corazón.
Now Constance Thompson follows with a conjuring and telling of Black Girl Magic. The work, curated and directed by Thompson, pays tribute to the stories of Black women. Constance, this is a world premiere for you. How are you celebrating the bonds of sisterhood?
Through prayer, through ritual, through song and storytelling. It's a mixed generational piece. We have young people as young as 10 years old and beautiful women into their 70s that will be joining us on stage and sharing what it is that makes Black girls so magical.
Just what is Black girl magic?
It's a term coined in 2013 by a young sister. Her name is Kashawn Thompson. And it was to celebrate the beauty and the power and the resilience of Black women. And so oftentimes we see videos of young girls dancing or women just stepping into their fearless desires and goals. That is Black girl magic. And so what it means to everyone individually takes on a whole new shape and a whole new form. And so why it's coined a conjuring and telling stories of Black girl magic is because sometimes we celebrate each other in sadness, in pain, and it looks different than just joy on a video screen of dancing. So we're going to unpack and unravel those different stories. And we're conjuring up them through ancestorhood and through the beautiful bonds of sisterhood.
So how does this experience unfold? What stories or themes are you exploring?
We're uncovering themes of women as it relates to who we are, just by being. Not in relation to, I am someone's mother, I am someone's sister, I am such and such. What does it mean to just be yourself and that being enough? So oftentimes, Black women and girls are not viewed in the highest positive light in media and in cultures around the world. So how do we uplift and show our truest selves, our truest entities, as it ties in to our maternal lines and each of our different families? We are uncovering childhood experiences that probably have been traumatic and how we move and maneuver through those. How do we use joy and laughter and comedy and dance to really overcome some fierce obstacles? And how is it that we utilize our sisterhood bond to keep us going?
How did you go about curating the stories that unfold?
We did a lot of story circles. We always have our own rituals of how we rehearse. But story circles are just ways that people can just share unfiltered and honest. And through that, we find similar themes and threads about resilience in every single story. We also share the importance of dreams, sleeping and waking dreams, and tapping into those dreams. Ancestorhood, storytelling, stories being passed down through generations. And we do just a mix of a lot of different things in the rehearsal process and putting the pieces together. The entire theatrical production, the entire storytelling piece has an arc of essentially passing the baton over from elders to youth.
As you take this journey to the past and present, what lies ahead going into the future for Black women?
I envision stories of women being the front runners of every platform, not just political. Front runners in the sense of taking up leadership in families, in communities, especially in the arts as Black women, telling stories that we tell each other in public view. Black women and women in general have the opportunity in this current climate in America to be at the front and not behind anyone.
Constance Thompson and Nairobi Otero, thanks so much for stopping by.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Come to the light, it's time to shine. I'm holding back, I go for mine. Guided by light, surrounded my soul. Blessed by God in full control. I walk by faith, not by sight. Prayers in the day, the end of the night. Learning lessons, deeper connection, making progression, receiving the blessings. Not deterred from obligations.
Playwright Nairobi Otero's One Woman Play Till Sunday opens July 18th with performances running through July 28th, followed by A Conjuring and Telling of Black Girl Magic, directed and curated by Constance Thompson, which runs August 2nd through 11th. Both City Series productions are on the main stage at Southern Rep Theater, 2541 Bayou Road in the former St. Rose de Lima Church building. More info is online at southernrep.com. You're listening to Inside the Arts on 89.9 WWNO, New Orleans Public Radio. I'm Diane Mack. A young group of top rising star pianists are heading uptown for a unique musical experience. The Musical Arts Society of New Orleans, MASNO, is kicking off its annual New Orleans Keyboard Festival and Piano Institute next week at Loyola University. MASNO's Executive Director, Kara McCool-Wolf, joins us by phone. Kara, welcome to the program.
Thank you, Diane.
There is always so much excitement surrounding this keyboard festival. Tell me, what makes it so special?
Well, you know, this keyboard festival actually originated back in 1981, so it's been around for many years. And when it first started, it was a series of concerts and master classes. And it's grown several years later. The big international piano competition was founded. And then 10 years after that, in 1999, the Piano Institute was founded. So it was all a part of the Keyboard Festival. Those things were spinoffs of the festival. And so this particular year, when we don't have the big international piano competition, because it's every other year, the festival centers more on the Institute. And so we do have guest artists coming back to play recitals, but we also have opportunities to hear the Institute students more, because they will be competing in their own solo and concerto competitions.
Wow. So let's talk about this year's guest artists. Who are they?
Well, we have two former winners of the New Orleans International Piano Competition coming back to join us. One is just last summer's gold medalist, Zhang Zhu from China. And the other one is our 2012 silver medalist, who a lot of people would remember, brilliant pianist Se-jun Park from South Korea.
Tell me more about them and what will they perform?
Se-jun was silver medalist in 2012, and since then he has had quite a successful career performing. He's an astral artist. An astral artist is an artist management for emerging artists. We have MASNO and Astral have a lot of similar efforts in their missions, and they're one of our partners, so we're happy to be able to work with them to bring Se-jun back. He will be performing Beethoven's Pathetique Sonata. He'll also be playing the Rachmaninoff Etude Tableau, Opus 33, the complete set. He'll play three Franz Liszt Consolations, and then he'll end his program with Mussorgsky's Pictures in an Exhibition. So that should be a fun program.
And Zhang Zhu?
Zhang won our competition last summer, and he's a Chinese-born pianist, and he is very excited to come back. He'll be performing a solo recital during the Keyboard Festival, but he'll also be one of our jury members for the competitions for the Piano Institute, so he'll be with us for the whole week. And his program is really a lot of fun. The students are going to love this. He's playing the Franz Liszt Vladimir Horowitz Hungarian Rhapsody No. 2. Then he's going to play the eight concert etudes by Nikolai Kapustin, and those concert etudes have really strong elements of jazz throughout them. And then his second half will be all Chopin nocturnes, so that'll be a very crowd-pleasing program.
Included in the Keyboard Festival is the New Orleans Piano Institute, which I believe is celebrating a milestone this year.
Yes, it's 20 years old, a big birthday. And, of course, we're also very pleased to have received the Gambit's Tribute to the Classical Arts Award for Education this past year as well. So there's a lot to celebrate with the Piano Institute.
Yeah, congratulations on that.
Thanks. And, you know, this summer, I believe we have the most students from New Orleans that we've ever had. There are 31 students in attendance, which is about the max that we can take. And 12 of them are actually local, are actually New Orleans pianists.
So describe for us what happens at the Piano Institute.
Well, we have five faculty members who are esteemed internationally who come in each summer, and they will be here for the whole week, and the students will receive private instruction with them, and they will also be performing in master classes, which is where they will perform a piece in front of an audience, and then the teacher will teach them in front of the audience. So there are 10 of those, and then they will have opportunities to compete in solo competitions. There are two divisions. There's a Division 1 for ages 17 and younger, and then Division 2 is 17 and older. And then they'll also have the opportunity to compete in the concerto competition, and the winner of that competition is invited back to New Orleans to perform with the New Orleans Civic Symphony in the fall. which is oftentimes the student's first opportunity to perform with an orchestra.
That's an incredible opportunity. Who's eligible to attend the Piano Institute?
We have students who send in audition tapes from around the world. The ages are junior high, high school, and college age students. Another thing that's so great for the students is they get to network with other students from around the world and also these faculty members, and it just gives them these wonderful opportunities for their higher education levels and even gives them guidance as to what they want to do with their future careers.
What makes you most proud of these young music students?
Well, it takes a lot of dedication to be able to come and participate in an institute of this intensity and at this level. And so I'm just happy that they love music so much and that they're able to come and develop their skills and their craft and be around these other wonderful artists that can inspire them and really give them encouragement and something that means a lot to them.
Masno's Executive Director, Kara McCool-Wolf, thanks for joining us.
Thanks, Diane. Always a pleasure.
The Musical Arts Society of New Orleans presents its annual Keyboard Festival and Piano Institute, July 21st through 28th at Loyola University. Events of the Piano Institute are free and open to the public. Guest artist recitals are ticketed and will take place in Loyola's Roussel Hall. More info is online at masno.org. That's our show for this week. Major support for Inside the Arts comes from the Helles Foundation. Additional support comes from Christwood Retirement Community, the Contemporary Arts Center, and the New Orleans Opera Association. Our program is a production of WWNO and is archived at WWNO.org. I'll be back with more ideas for your artistic palette on Tuesdays at 1 p.m., Wednesdays at 8:30 p.m., and a shortened edition on Thursday mornings at 8:45 when we'll go inside the arts. I'm Diane Mack.